Well, we continue on. We left off with, you might say, birthing God. Birthing a new understanding of God would be a little another way to put it. Then all this stuff comes after that, the bottom of 298, the last two paragraphs, second column. You know, this is foolish. We'll come back to that idea. Then the terrible waves, that how upsetting this is. And then starts looking at a wall. Now I think, again, we see very important images of integration. Let's read. Top of 299, left-hand column. A horizontal line runs along the wall, which is painted a dark color underneath. A radiator stands in front of it. That's important. Then, the line is the horizon. And there the sun now rises in red glory, solitary and magnificent. In it is a cross from which hangs a serpent. These are alchemical images. I put up, have a look here on the wall. No, don't do this to me.
Did it lock up?
It locked up. Damn it.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. I'm going to write it down there. I think the problem is the file's getting so big.
There goes that matter again.
The matter is against it. And I try so hard to serve it. Thankless.
I don't think the radiator is so unimportant. Just to change.
Okay, go ahead.
Because it keeps him warm while he's in this place of waiting. Maybe it's keeping.
Yeah, well, I see what you're saying. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, how did the screen, how did the computer right in front of the thing? Maybe it was over here.
That serpent on the cross, which part of the cross is.
I think that would be the prima materia. Yeah. I want to show you one achievement, which is even better.
So even in the prima materia, there's the hint of the crucifix. The
yes. Opposite. You crucify the prima materia. Exactly. And, you know what it is? We have a different screen size.
Mm.
And let's see.
Power.
Screen, no, I don't want screen size. I want setting. And I want 800 by 600. Anyone see? Is that 80?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See if that does it. Each of these darn projectors has a different screen size, and I think if the computer and the screen size don't match, it causes trouble. Let's see if this makes a difference. See how before I was losing some of it?
Yeah, now we're going to be able to see it.
No, anywhere. We'll get it better.
Let me pull that down.
That's such a good one. The other picture I want to show you has the snake pinned to the two arms of the cross and then draped in the middle. That first one I showed you, it doesn't quite capture the drama of what I think he's getting at. And I'll just tell you while it's doing this what I think it's about. See, it's not Christ that is transformed.
is the instance. The snake is that same snake we saw before, right? The devil. So the starting point for this process of growth, which he is outlining, is the transformation of instinct, the transformation of matter. That's why it's so important. See, it goes on. So instead of saying that the Christian religion is about the death and rebirth of Christ, it's saying the new religion is about the death and rebirth of instinct, or the transformation of instinct, or the spiritual union between spirit and matter. This is what he's seeing.
So what between
spirit and matter?
What between
I think the implication of the snake on the cross is the union of spirit and matter.
Union.
Because the snake is what dies and is reborn. Not Christ who dies and is reborn, but the snake dies and is reborn. And what it is when it's reborn is it's spiritualized matter. Just like Christ was a spiritualized human being. Now you see, this is alchemy. This is part of the ancestral heritage we've lost. That's why the ancestors were so important. And this is Dionysus. Absolutely, it's Dionysus.
The snake is Dionysus.
Well, it's the religion then starts with the body.
Spiritualizing.
Yeah. And that's sex, that's power, and that's possession. That is sacred. Otherwise it wouldn't be on the cross. But it's sacred as a starting point. So what Christianity rejected, they're taking as a starting point. Individuation is starting with your desires, your instincts, your sexuality, your power, your longing to have a physical place in the world, then asking yourself, what does that mean? What guidance is coming to me through my physical relationship to life? I don't try to escape my physical relationship to life. I try to live it consciously, hearing what it's communicating to me. See the difference between that and being a person of the flesh or a person of the spirit.
And so this is part of the return, right? Of
yeah,
the dead.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, the alchemist probably thought there was something literal going on in the vessel. Jung is taking it as a metaphor. He doesn't throw it out, and he doesn't accept it literally. He transposes the level in which he understands it.
You, at one point, did you make instinct and matter
similar? Yeah. In other words, we use our words rather carelessly, but I equate the two meaning. Instinct is a longing for something in the material world.
But that's a spiritual thing.
Well, it is if you're conscious. But Tony Robbins just longs for more money. And that's Mithras. So the next thing is, or is it a bull sloping as at the slaughterhouse? See where I am. Now that's a reference to Mithraism. Mithra is, in Mithraism, this is Mithras, he slays a bull. He disembowels it, and that becomes the world. So the world is created from the entrails of the bull. See, again, a starting with an instinctual presence, which then transforms into a whole world. Just like the snake goes through a death and rebirth, so does the bull. But the unique feature is both of them are animal starting points.
And we have the snake there at the bottom.
Now, you've got the happy little doggy, and you've got the snake, which I think is remarkable because it means that nature agrees with the transformation of nature. That's the big difference. Nature wants to change. That's what Jung discovered. Freud, you make the instinct conscious. Jung, the instinct knows itself where it's going. So in dreams, we generally say, never go against the animals. Unless the animals ask you to. And sometimes they do. And we'll see a reference later to above and below. You see he's got one torch up and one torch down. We'll come upon that in a moment. And here's another. See the snake, the doggy. One, I don't think we have a torch going down. We only have a torch going up. I think I have another one. Do I have another one? Oh, no, that's something else. So these are images of what we're talking about. Is this making sense? It'll start making sense eventually.
It seems to presuppose that spirit wants to emerge from matter.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
But where's the possibility of this matter for its own sake? I mean, can't that also exist alongside the idea of...
Yeah. It's a schema. And the schema runs, first, it's matter for its own sake. That's adolescence. That's early 20s, 30s. That's the first 2,000 years of Western history. Then you've got matter and you're bored. Or you're frenzied getting more because what you have doesn't satisfy you. Then the issue becomes spirit and matter.
This presupposes an anthropomorphic viewpoint.
How so?
Well, before there was any possibility of consciousness, we had matter.
Yeah.
Matter was existing for its own sake. Unless we are to push ourselves and our vision, our anthropomorphic vision, back on prehistory and say, well, this is all leading up to spiritualization of itself.
Yeah, it is doing that, yes.
That is an assumption, it seems to me.
Or a hypothesis.
A hypothesis.
Yeah, I think it's his hypothesis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we aren't necessarily saying that primordial rock didn't exist for its own sake, except as a hypothesis.
Or the development of that world is a hypothesis. And I think he would also cite evolution. There is a built-in process of more complicated structures.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the structures being consciousness.
Which would suggest that there is some primordial design.
Well, I think so. Yeah.
And I just start all over again. It exists elsewhere. So.
It guts into deep water. That's Teilhard de Chardin. That's what he picked up on. But we certainly can see in individual cases how not getting what you want stops life. We can also see where getting what you want stops life. And so getting what you want is the precondition for moving past what you want.
It represents material and instinctual mm-hmm. aspect of mm-hmm. what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, if you're talking to a 19-year-old, there's no point in talking like this. You're talking about, what do you want? Why aren't you getting it? When they come back at 40, I got it, I'm still miserable. Okay, well, let's see what's next. So that, yeah.
There is an instinct for religion or meaning.
That's what, certainly is what he's saying.
Not Freud, but no.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, this search for meaning or your spirituality.
Transcendence, maybe? Yeah. Transcendence is built into the instinct.
Is an instinct itself. There is an instinct of searching for meaning and spirituality that's built into our psyche, apparently.
Yep. That's very important understanding. Yep. Yep.
Which is the place that it seems matter and instincts part ways.
I'd say it's where they unite.
Matter, as you've been talking about, here, matter that is snake-like and undefined.
Yeah, unless you go back to it consciously. If consciousness doesn't intercede, then the spirit doesn't appear. You just keep getting more and more and more and more. You don't learn anything. And look at all these guys that, what was that guy who just got busted? He was a investment guy, and he had... Was that his name? All these houses.
Money on him.
Did you? All these money, all these houses, a condo, more girls, more parties. Yeah.
I didn't care about
it. It is.
Who's
this guy? Where's he with?
It's all sold now. I'm getting it.
He's buying stuff in Toronto, probably.
Well, he's in prison, whatever.
Oh, he's in prison.
Yeah.
Fed?
Yeah. One of the images, and if I've told you this before, I can't even read what I said here. Tell me before I One of the images. One of the images from my childhood, when I was probably about 3, was walking home from the doctor in a small town where we live, and seeing over in the distance the horizon. And the sky and asking my mother if we could go over there where the sky met the horizon. And I'm thinking, you know, that had to be a transcendent kind of thing, because it was a feeling of awe, like it was about me and my body and all that. It was, and I remember that feeling of, wow, there's this saucer up here over the earth.
Yeah. That would be the foundation of all.
Well, and you that it's interesting. Last night here on PBS, there was a thing about the sea and whales, and there's several different types of whales. I didn't realize how many, but and they were studying, and there's this one species, the humpback, are real. The males fight each other, you know, to get to mate with the one female. And it continues. But then there's this other one, other species, and as soon as one male gets, you know, wins the female, then the other ones connect and start really being friends. So that eventually, you know, the one species, you know, the males keep on fighting even after they don't get the matter.
Yeah.
But then these other ones find a new meaning. I mean, and they become friends with each other. They start loving each other.
It's very spiritual.
I do see a lot of spirit in it. I mean, when you look at a dog's eyes, there's something in there other than you know, instinct. Blood and
Yeah, I told you about that one guy I worked with. He was a psychologist, and he had a big dog, and the dog would sit in the corner of his office unless somebody came in depressed. And the dog would walk over and put its snout on that person's leg. Just, it knew.
Well, didn't Marie have a little dog, and he always had to sniff everything.
You were approved? Yeah, I got approved.
Did the dog not approve?
I don't know. I didn't want to find out.
I bet he didn't like that cowling.
I don't know. That might have been before she got the dog. I don't know. I wonder. That's a good question, whether he liked that.
I just had a dream about her and her dog.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Cool. What did you do?
I can't remember. See, I'm having senior moments.
I can relate to that.
Okay. And then, skipping a little bit. And now silence enters. Go down about halfway down that first paragraph. See where I am, about middle of the paragraph, middle of this line. And now silence enters. No noise, no breeze. Everything is rigid and deathly still. I wait, secretly anxious. I see a tree arise from the sea. Its crown reaches to heaven, and its roots reach down into hell. Well, again, an image from alchemy. And I brought these images along. Here's one. Here's one. See? Body and soul. Sun and moon. The tree is seen as representing the synthesis of opposites. Now, you wouldn't know that unless you knew alchemy. But that's, again, why I have taken the approach I have taken in trying to understand this, of a pile of opposites on one side, a pile of opposites on the other side, moving toward individuation, and here it is, emerging, and these are the two sides of that chart I laid out for you, so that we're beginning to see resolution. And that resolution will unite all of the factors we have seen. Everything we've discussed up to now is necessary for individuation if it's understood on the right level. All those confusing ideas and images and contradictory statements about the sun and power and ego, are all elements of the individuation process, and he is now synthesizing what he has dealt with.
That's interesting, the upper triangle and the lower triangle.
Yeah. Right. You want to try that? Your guess is as good as mine, but I certainly have a guess. You know the difference between the upper and lower triangle in alchemy? That would be the Holy Trinity. And that would be the lower Trinity.
And that was, I mean, spirit, was that matter with
yes.
God?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
Patriarchy and then Sophia at the bottom.
Well, yeah, I would say the entry into Sophia. It's the upper triangle would be the guidance of dreams. I'm putting it very simply. The lower triangle would be the guidance of synchronicity, matter, and the guidance of desire. The guidance available to us when we learn from relationships. When we learn who we are through the relationships our bodies lead us into.
Now, where is it Von Franz talks about the upper and lower Trinity so much? Is that in the Grail legends?
Well, I don't know. Where is that talk? I'll check. I know it's talked a lot about in the Pali material. Because he dreams of triangles on the ground. See what
oh,
I mean?
So maybe it's in number and time.
Yeah.
It might be a number in time. Another way to say this is that Jung is enlarging our understanding of what the spirit is. Christianity says the spirit is a bird. Jung is saying it's also a snake. On the ground. And that this is preparing a new understanding of what's sacred. So these images here are why I have gone the way I have. All that confusion, and then we start getting images which in myth point to resolution. The snake crucified, the bull sacrificed, and the tree.
Is there a significance between the differences in the two men?
I don't know.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Philosopher on the left and the warrior.
That's a darn good guess, I think, because he's got a sword.
He has an axe. The other one has an axe.
He has an axe. Oh,
he has an axe? Oh, it is an axe. Sorry. No. I thought it was a piece of paper.
Or, yeah, I think you're right with a warrior. This could be a farmer. I don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it's certainly two different implements.
Yeah, he's got a farmer's hat on. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like the lowest.
Don't you wonder what
higher.
Kind of mind drew that picture? Mm-hmm. Where was the guy sitting? Mm-hmm. Was it a cold December day and he was sitting on the fire? Was he out walking in a spring day? What was he thinking when he drew that?
Like the noble and the peasant, the highest
yeah.
and the lowest
mm-hmm.
and coming
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
And the tree it's like spring. It's
mm-hmm.
just the beginning.
Leafing. Mm-hmm.
And then aren't all of those symbols alchemical
yeah.
symbols?
Well, it's
for
the male, female. I don't know those.
Yeah, but those stand for like certain elements.
Is that Mercury?
Mm-hmm.
And then
Is that Neptune?
Does anyone know astrology?
And the right is, in the bottom, next one is Saturn.
That's Saturn.
And then down in the lower triangle, what are those, Carol, do you know? Those are also...
Well, down below is Mercury, too.
Okay.
And then on the left, I can't quite make it out.
It's like a triangle and a cross.
Yeah. Well, the Earth is sometimes a square.
Mm-hmm.
That would fit to the lower triangle as we've defined it, huh? That the Earth, it has... Mercurius would be the inner guidance, but the Earth provides the guidance.
I wonder why they have the moon, the crescent moon, looking out.
Here, looking out?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds kind of looking down, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I assume that Senior Adolphus is the actual alchemist.
The Senior is an alchemist. I don't know who Adolphus is. That might be another name for him. I think Senior was an Arabic alchemist. I'll check that.
Yeah, I think
so. Well, that's the Latin name for... Avicenna. I think, you know. Okay.
What are those?
Would you show those other two trees again? Back. Well, these would be the stages. And that would be the soul, anima's soul, corpus's body. And then that's the lapis. But that the transformative process is the tree. That's the point. Between opposites, synthesizing opposites.
And then that lion and the...
Yeah, a lion and... I can't make out what that is. Can you read that?
We don't get to see the tail.
Arbor Philosophica.
The
tree has the symbol of the stages in the transformative process.
The red lion and the... So that must be another color there. So something gluten. Is that G-L-U-T-E-N?
G-L-U-T-E-N looks like the name.
I think that's just a way to differentiate the sun from the moon to make it cross the
moon. I don't know.
Emphasis on the waxing.
Right.
We get similar figures
that
like,
should
be
the other
tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But here
is
more like a philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm. And then there's the question, I guess, with the same one who's traveled
over
the
there. City. Oh, and then how about the character behind the philosopher? He's got a shield or something.
Oh, I thought that was something like,
I know. There's a woman on the other side.
Oh, this one.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
That must be wisdom, huh?
Neptune and his bride, is that who they represent? I don't know.
And I just read something about Medusa being the bride of Neptune.
Mm.
or Poseidon.
It's very much like that tree that he that he produced.
Several pictures back.
Yeah, they had his own transformations.
All the lights on
it. Like fruits. But I suppose, I wonder if he'd ever seen the alchemical images when he produced them for himself.
I doubt it. If you take his biography, he didn't come across them until after 1928.
That's right, because he was traveling in Italy and was drawn back because he needed to study alchemy.
I don't remember how he stumbled on them, but I don't know if we'll ever know that. Yeah, now he was studying Gnosticism. Well, the point to remember is what confused us previously were a pile of heterogeneous imagery that in its own context made no sense. But when you realize it's heading toward a synthesis of elements of an inner transformational process, you can see them all as ingredients against the background of this larger understanding. And that we really have reached something. And then an interesting comment, a little farther down from that tree. Go to the end of that first paragraph in the first column on 299, and go up 4 lines up. There is no salvation here. What do you make of that? Bottom of the first paragraph, first column on 299, yeah. Go up 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. 299, first paragraph. Are you on the first paragraph?
First paragraph. Here.
Yeah. Up 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. There is no salvation here. Now I get hooked on some of these ideas, and he changes his mind later. There is salvation. We'll come across that. I marked the pages there on that little sheet I gave you. Well,
the traditional sense is if he was in hell, as the rule told us, there would not be.
Right. I think it shows he hasn't grasped the meaning of what's happening. And from where he is sitting, it looks like more chaos. But if you know how to read the imagery, you can see a change is occurring. Because on 301, we'll see. Did I mark it? Thought I marked it. Yeah. Look at the first column. Last line of the next to the last paragraph. Hence, he knows the way to salvation. See the difference? How he is, it's beginning, I think that means it's beginning to dawn on him. Oh, I'm getting somewhere.
It's as though he takes us in images through his entire thought process.
It's not as if, it's he is. Yeah. Which is, It's what it's like down there. This is just what it's like in any deep work. It's confusing as hell.
I'm reading a book on imagination and creativity from a neuroscience point of view, and he talks about the creative process. I've just begun the book. But he says you must get, frustration is a huge part of any breakthrough. That you must get to the point of pure frustration before insight can come in.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. We don't like frustration.
Mm-mm.
I don't like frustration.
And then afterwards, you see the answer has been there all along, but because of your preconceived ideas about something, you can't see it. It's veiled, but it's all there.
Yeah, that's the point where consciousness, the lens and the unconscious can come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, this is the unconscious coming in.
Right. And that's, he said it's just like a flash of insight. It just pops right in there.
Yeah.
That's exactly how my husband works in his everyday understanding of computer machinery. If he has a big enough problem, he refuses to think about it.
Yeah.
He just waits.
Does he live in the frustration? Does it get to the point of frustration?
He's so attuned to working this way that he does that. He will sometimes stay with the frustration, but now he knows that he doesn't even have to quite do that. He can simply turn off consciousness and let the answer come in.
I think the art is knowing, oh, here it is again.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the process, detach.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's easier said than done.
Yes, that's what he says. It's very difficult to stop pouring over.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He has to really tear himself away.
Because that left brain really wants to go after all the
little...
But this guy's talking about the difference between left and right brain, too, and the different processes that go on there. And if we can shut off that left brain stuff that just obsesses over the details of it, it lets the right brain do what it needs to do, which is making the whole.
Mm-hmm. That's in a way what Jung is working with as applied to human maturation. And it's 2:30, and we've worked hard. I'll say we have gotten to about the middle of the page on first column, 299. And I had you read 303. Ah, that was ambitious. I don't even know if we'll get done with 301 next time.
Yeah, this gets some really heavy stuff.
It's heavy.
Yeah, especially when getting into that grail stuff.
So, I don't know. Did you get, were you, I couldn't read the 303.
I didn't get that.
I got exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff about the lowest is pretty confusing.
I'll say, let me see. I'd hate to. We got, where are we? 299, 300, 301. We might get started on 302. Then again, we might not. So don't read any further than 303. If you haven't read it, at least read, try it up to 303, first column before number 2. We may not get that far. I think this is summing up everything we've done. So it's really important stuff. And the pictures are equally complicated. We haven't even looked at what's coming. But I hope you feel it's worth it. And how he has gone into frustration, lost, and then he discovers it. And the problem he's solving is his own freaking life.
And freedom of life.
Yeah, in our lives. Okay, well, thank you, and I'll see you in 2.
Thank you.